Romans chapter.
Topic of today's teaching is Jesus Christ our Lord. And we'll start in Romans 10. And I want to start off with just looking at what exactly is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And Romans 10 tells us what that is. A verse we all know, we've heard many times, and we'll start there. In verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So from that verse, just that simple verse, we know that our relationship with Jesus is that he is our Lord. Pretty straightforward, pretty simple, not difficult to understand. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I was thinking about this this week. You know, given some of the events in the past week or so, just what a blessing it is to have Jesus Christ as our Lord. What a blessing it is to know all that God has wrought in him and that we can enjoy those blessings. And in Acts chapter 2:29, we read on the day of Pentecost when Peter spoke, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted Jesus Christ, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool." Now here we read in verse 34, we have the word Lord used twice. The Lord, speaking about God, said unto my Lord, speaking about Jesus Christ. Both are referred to as Lord. Now we just read in Romans chapter 10, Jesus is our Lord. So both God and Jesus are referred to with the title Lord. So when we're reading in the New Testament, we have to look in the context to understand which one it's talking about. Here we have both mentioned. They're mentioned again. Let's keep reading. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." Who made Jesus Lord? God did. You can see it in the context right here. Both named, called Lord. But it was God who made Jesus Lord and Christ. God is the one who put him in that position. Keep reading. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized." Repent literally means change your heart, change your mind. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." See here, God is referred to as Lord. So we have to be very cognizant of the context of when that word is being used. And it doesn't help us any in the New Testament that most of the translations capitalize both. So we need to understand by context whether it's referring to Jesus Christ or it's referring to God. So once we make Jesus our Lord, as God has asked us to do, a whole world of blessings opens up to us. And that's really what I was thinking about this week, is there are so many blessings that are given to us. We make him Lord. The word Lord is the overarching term, I call it, the overarching term for him. But there are many other titles for Jesus Christ in the Bible, as we know. High priest, shepherd, advocate, all these words. But the overarching one is Lord. And under that, there are so many, many blessings that we receive. Acts chapter 10 tells us about what Jesus did when he was on the earth. And let's just read that. Acts chapter 10. And this is when he walked and ministered amongst the people, as you know, as is documented in the Gospels. But Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So when Jesus Christ was on the earth, he went about doing good and healing all. Well, now that God has raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand, has his capacity to bless us diminished, or has it been increased? Which way has it gone? Obviously increased. His ability to bless us now is far greater than even when Jesus ministered on the earth. And those are the blessings that we enjoy with having him as Lord. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, please. Jesus is a very, very powerful Lord. He is very, very capable. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 7. But made himself, this is talking about Jesus Christ, but made himself of no reputation, which means he humbled himself, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How did he humble himself? He did what God asked him to do. You see, he went so far as to give his life on the cross. He allowed himself to die. That's how far he humbled himself. Wherefore, verse 9, God also hath highly exalted him. Because of Jesus Christ's humility to do what God wanted him to do, God highly exalted him and given him a name, verse 9, which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Covers all areas. Everything must bow. Let me ask you a question. Does that include God? No. God, as Jesus Christ taught it, he is greater than me. There was no one greater than God. Jesus Christ is subservient to God. But beyond that, he's God's second in command. Beyond that, there's nothing else. Nothing else is greater than him. He is the authority of things above the earth, was it in heaven, in the earth, and under the earth. All areas. That's a very powerful Lord that we serve. The blessings of serving a Lord like that. You know, verse 11, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When we make him Lord, it says it brings glory to the glory of God the Father. When we make him Lord, it brings glory to God. If you make him God, that does not bring glory to God. But you make him Lord, where God has put him, that brings God glory. You know, this you know, powerful Lord that we serve, that is, you know, God has highly exalted. You know, I was thinking last week, you know, sometimes the things that happen in your world, you can't always understand everything that happens, you might be tempted to fear or all the other things that come your way. Well, what a blessing to have Jesus as our Lord, highly exalted above all, in every name that is named, and in this world, that which has come, above all those things. What a blessing it is. How blessed we can be in our daily walk to know, well, we have a wonderful Lord. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. I have to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power, God's power, to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead? The resurrection is one of the most critical and consequential historical and spiritual events in the history of this world. The changes that happened to Jesus Christ when God took the lifeless body of his son and raised him to his right hand can be compared to no other event in history. The power that God wrought in him when that happened took him from the Jesus of the Gospels, which he is no longer the Jesus of the Gospels, but he is seated at God's right hand above all authority. That change Few have understood. Many still consider him to be the Jesus of the Gospels, walking around, washing people's feet, and doing all those things. Well, that's not what the scriptures say. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, in the heavenlies, God seated him in the heavenlies at his right hand, second in command. That's the position of authority under God, but under God. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. You know, these words that are used here, principality and power and might and dominion. If you do a little bit, looking into God's word, you'll see what some of these things refer to. It says that he's far above all these things. What are they? These are the ones who try to separate us from the love of God. Those principalities, power, those are the ones that try to separate us from God's love, and Jesus Christ is above that. They're the ones who Jesus made a show of when God raised him from the dead by his resurrection. They're the ones to those whom God will show his manifold wisdom by the church. Someday they're going to recognize the greatness of what God did in Jesus Christ. They're the spiritual powers with whom we wrestle, according to Ephesians chapter 6. Jesus Christ is above that. The wrestling that we have with these spiritual powers, we enjoy the blessings of a Lord whose name is above all that, has authority above all of that. They're all the spiritual dignitaries. They're the powers of darkness. Remember when Jesus Christ was confronted by the devil in Luke chapter 4 and Matthew 4? He says, if you worship me, I'm going to give you all this power. Well, since Jesus Christ turned him down, look what happened. Look at the power God gave him, far greater than anything the devil could ever have given him. Of course, there was a slight caveat to that promise, just worship me, and he wasn't going to do that. He turned him down, and guess what? The power he has now is far greater, seated at God's right hand. These are the authorities that he will one day put down when he delivers the kingdom back to God. They're the evil powers that will one day be shaken by the work of Jesus Christ, completely shaken, obliterated, destroyed, and made to naught. Those are the ones that Ephesians says he is far above. All principality, all power, and might and dominion. And every name, verse 21, every name that is named today, a lot of names people name today, it says here he is far above all those names. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. That list, by the way, also includes all the angels, anybody. He's above them all. The only one he's not above is God. So, you know, when you walk about your daily life every day and you go about place to place, you might hear good news, might hear bad news. Isn't it a blessing to know that Jesus Christ has that authority, that power, and we have him as our Lord? To me, it's a great comfort. Right? Could we ask for a more capable Lord? Look at Hebrews chapter 2, please. Hebrews chapter 2. We get the blessings and benefit of his lordship every moment of our lives. Hebrews, like I mentioned that one of the things he's referred to as is the high priest. Well, let's just look at the blessings of that just quickly. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For he, in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Jesus Christ says here, was tempted. God can't be tempted, the Bible tells us. Jesus Christ was tempted. And because he was tempted, he's able to help you and me. Now, I want you to keep that in mind. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, let's jump over to chapter 4. We're going to read verse 14 as well. So we just learned that because he was tempted, he's able to succor or help those who are, or to assist those who are tempted. Verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession or confession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Mentions it twice, a couple of chapters. He was tempted. He can help us. He was tempted in every way we were tempted, yet without sin. You know, if you think about it, everything that happens in your life that leads to sin generally involves some kind of temptation or other. Something. Whether it's temptation to, you know, sexual temptation, a financial temptation, whether it's a, I don't know, power temptation, fame temptation, food, alcohol, drugs, whatever it is, whatever area of life it is. So, you know, it's interesting that God mentions twice that Jesus Christ's position as the high priest to help us in our day-by-day walk, our Lord, overarching Lord, but also as a ministry or the title of high priest, able to deal with the fact that if we're tempted in any way, because if you can avoid temptation, you can pretty much walk pretty straight in life. And Jesus Christ is there. He was tempted every way we possibly are. Never sinned. And now he's able to help us. You know, that when we make him Lord, it's not just something that happens and we forget about it. It's something that we deal with. It's something that works with every single day of the rest of our lives, if we want it to. If we want to allow his lordship to help us that way. That's what he's there for. That's the position God has given to him. Look at verse 16. Let us therefore, because of this, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. 1 Peter chapter 2, another wonderful title. Just looking briefly at a couple of the other titles. 1 Peter 2. These you were praying about this today. Verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were a sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. The Bible calls him the good shepherd. The Bible calls him the chief shepherd. You know, what does that mean? Well, again, on a day-by-day basis, what does it mean? What does a shepherd do for the sheep? Make sure they don't get hurt. Make sure their wounds are taken care of. We just read about it. By his stripes we are healed. Protects the fold. He's the one the shepherd used to sleep at the fold, door of the fold, to make sure the sheep aren't hurt. Well, you think Jesus Christ isn't doing a good job of that? Now that God has exalted him to second in command, you think he's better now than he was when he was on the earth? Yeah. Otherwise, why did he exalt him? So much greater ministry to bless us day by day. Daily care and protection. We need to be aware of his lordship every moment of our lives, not to forget that it wasn't some one-time action. We'll close in Ephesians chapter 5. Just wanted to read this section here in Ephesians chapter 5. You know, and some of the guys, things you guys were sharing there, Doug, you were sharing, Patrick, about you know, how people see what God has wrought. Well, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. We're going to see here Jesus, the lordship of Jesus Christ is involved in every aspect of our life. That's the way God wants it to be. That's why God exalted him now. And here it starts off with saying, wives, submit yourself. First of all, verse 21, submitting yourselves unto one another in the fear of God. Now, word God is not God. It should be Christ. Submitting yourselves one another in the reverence of Christ. Every member in the body of Christ is to submit themselves one to another in the reverence of Christ. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Here, who's Lord referring to in the context? It's Christ. We're going to see it later. So what the reason wives should submit unto or subject themselves unto their own husbands is because Jesus Christ is Lord. That's why wives are supposed to do that. Not for any other reason. The Bible tells us the reason. The reason is because Jesus is Lord. That's why wives do that. It's God's order and design the body. And we're going to see it covers every single relationship you might have is centered around Jesus Christ. That's why society is so far stray from the view, stray from the Lord, having Jesus as your Lord. You stray away from all family values. You stray away from anything that is centered around him because he's no longer center. why you have so much adultery, so much, you know, problems with kids not respecting their parents, and older parents not being taken care of, and divorce rates, and it just goes on. The line goes right down the line. Because Jesus Christ is no longer central to the culture, no longer central to the life of believers. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. See, the comparison is, but Jesus Christ said Jesus is head of the body. Jesus Christ, head of the body. God has made the husband head of the wife. And he is the savior of the body. I know, men love that. Oh, yeah, head. Well, they never read the rest of it here when they talk about that. We're going to read the rest of it. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, this is why, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. The reason the wife is subject to her husband is because the church is subject unto Christ. That's God's order in the family. That was his design. That's the way it works best. Verse 25, husbands, not to be left, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And that's the part men never read, or a lot of people in the world, I'm not saying all men, and gave himself for. Jesus Christ was willing to go so far that he gave himself for the church. God asked husbands to go that far. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. That's why. If Jesus is your Lord, husbands, then you go so far as to die for your wife. Wives, if Jesus is your Lord, you subject yourselves unto your husband as in the Lord. That's God's order. That's his design. You know, you stray away from that, and society strays away from truth. Verse 26, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be with the holy and without blemish. Now, if a husband is going to make sure that his wife doesn't have a spot or wrinkle or any blemish, then he's got to work hard to make sure that the anxiety, the stresses of life, and all the other things that go in life, that she is shielded from that, and he takes it. That is what God is calling husbands to do. And then guess what? Jesus Christ does that on behalf of the church. Husbands are supposed to do it on behalf of their wives. Otherwise, wives get wrinkles and blemishes and all the other things with the stress and strain of life that they're not supposed to. I'm not talking about regular old age. I'm talking about those caused by stress and the problems of life that a husband is supposed to shield them from. That's what it says. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Everybody knows, everybody loves their own bodies. This is not a command for men to love themselves, because they already do too much. This is to recognize, because you love yourself so much, you gotta love your wife. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Guess what? Jesus Christ nourishes and cherishes the church. That's his job. That's how God put him there. He's head of the body, and he is responsible to nourish and cherish the church. That's us every day. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, sure, as we look around, all the unnourished and uncherished people that live in this society that have no idea that they have a Lord that cares for them and takes care of them. We know it. The Word tells us that. For we are members, 30, of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones and flesh is not in the text. Just as, for we are members of his body. We certainly aren't members of his flesh and bones. That's not in the text. Verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. For this cause, man shall leave his mother and wife, father and mother. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. See, the entire thing, the entire day-by-day living of the family is centered around Jesus is Lord. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents. Why? In the Lord, for this is right. Again, it's centered around Jesus Christ. That's why children are to obey their parents, because Jesus is Lord. That's why. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. There's a side benefit. You don't get killed. Interesting, God says that, isn't it? that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Who's the Lord? Jesus. Right? Nurture and admonition. Jesus Christ is responsible. We're supposed to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture and admonition. Growing up. Not to be frustrating them. Teaching them the way Jesus Christ deals with, nurtures and cherishes the church. Takes care of it. Admonishment. Putting the word in their mind. No, you shouldn't be doing that. Now, you shouldn't be following these things because of this. You should do this. Walk this way. Live this way. No, that's not good for you. You know, all the things that day by day life, all those things we do, not because we're a Lord of the world, but because we have a Lord. That's why we do it. When we do it with that heart, things stay right. When we frustrate them or whatever, you know, too much, well, things don't go so well. How would I like it if everything I'm jumped on for everything that I do wrong in my life, you know? I'd be dead. Verse 5, serpents, now we've covered fathers, mothers, children. Now how about employers and employees? Every area of life, verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. So people who have jobs, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Why? In singleness of heart, as unto Christ. The reason my job that I do every day, or your job you do, or whatever work we do every day in our lives, we do it as unto Christ. I obey my boss because Jesus is my Lord. Is he a good boss or a bad boss? Doesn't matter. I obey him because Jesus is my Lord. That's why that's how he impacts. The Lordship of Jesus Christ impacts every area of your life. It's supposed to, right? Because you can hear people all the time talking about their bosses and things and all the other things they get down to. Oh, he's so-and-so. I wonder if I can get away with this and all this. Well, you can get away with a lot with a secular boss. You don't get away with anything with Jesus Christ as Lord. You just don't. Right? And we recognize that. That's not a threat. That is an encouragement for us to walk according, because he is our Lord. I want to be pleasing to my Lord. Look what he did for us. He gave his life for us, and he continues to nourish and cherish the church, protects the church, watches over us, you know, from the right hand of God. Why wouldn't I want to please him? You know, sometimes people don't associate obeying their bosses with pleasing Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what the scriptures say. Verse 6, not with eye service, almost done here, as men pleasers, you know, just to show ourselves as good to somebody, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. I guarantee you that if we work with Jesus Christ as our Lord unto him in our day-by-day work, it may please our boss, or it may not. But it doesn't matter. Our heart is to please our Lord. And if it pleases him, there's a very good chance it'll please our earthly master. But even if it doesn't, that's not our motivation. Our motivation is that Jesus is Lord. That's why we do it. Verse 7. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord. See that? Not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. So our reward is tied directly to how we serve the Lord in this life. Whether he be bond or free. And if we're interested in doing the right thing in this life, only to serve the masters in this life, only we have missed the Lordship of Jesus Christ completely. Because the work that we do unto him has ramifications for eternity. There's no job in this world that can promise you that kind of return, that kind of blessing. None. But serving the Lord rightly promises you ramifications into eternity. They aren't even worthy to be compared. There's no comparison between those whatsoever. Verse 9, and ye masters, here's the bosses, do the same thing unto them, for forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master, because Jesus Christ is also their master, also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. See, both ways. So, all the work we do, whether in a family, which is the central unit of all life, or or the jobs that we have, the work that we do, and the work, all everything is centered on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, Jesus Christ, and in the power of his might. So what a blessing it is to know that he's our Lord. We walk day by day in the things we get up to, all the things we get in our daily lives, our whole life, in the family, outside the family, as children, parents, workers, employers, all areas are centered on Jesus Christ as our Lord. And, you know, we are never on our own. The Lord wants us to succeed, and he's the most greatest and powerful Lord anyone could ever have, exalted by God over everything that could ever impact us, given the authority to care for the body in every area of our lives. And our job is what? Just to abide in him every day. Just walk with the cognizance that he is Lord. So that's it. Jesus Christ, our Lord.